Morning, folks. It's good to be with you this morning here in the auditorium at Church in the Marketplace. Hi, if you're up in the gallery, and if you're joining us online, that's great too. You might be wondering what a golf club has to do with Easter Sunday. I am too. No, I'm just kidding. More about the golf club later. The night before Jesus was crucified, he made a very strange statement that I don't think anybody who heard it understood. He said, "In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you're going to see me because I am alive and you're about to come. You're about to come alive." What in the world did that mean? They're thinking, we're already alive. What does he mean when he says you're about to come alive? But if I think about it, Easter is all about coming alive. Jesus proved he was who he said he was. He was killed, dead. He was buried, dead. He was resurrected, not dead. Dead to not dead. With enough credible historical evidence to make it the defining event in human history. BC AD. Almost everybody knows that part of the Easter story. What most people don't know is the second part of the story that involves us. He, talking about Jesus, included everyone in his death, so everyone could be included in his life, a far better life than people ever lived on their own. So what's this better life? In Australia, we know all about the good life. In fact, you could be living the good life. You've got a good home, you've got a good family, you've got a good job maybe, you're in good health. You'd say, I've got it good, and you're right. Compared to the rest of the world you're living, we're living the good life. But what if there was something more? What if beyond the good life, there was a better life? What if you were missing out on something that you didn't even know about? What if God intended more than just the good life for you? If God intended the better life, wouldn't you want to know about it? Of course you would, and so would I. We often settle for less because we don't know that there's anything better. I believe that God brought you here today to Church in the Marketplace on Easter Sunday so he could tell you a little secret. And here it is. You were made for more than just the good life. Looking good? Yeah, you do. Looking good. Feeling good. Having the good. That's okay, but that's not all there is to life. There's way more than that. There's the better life. Over many years of ministry now, I've discovered that beneath this image of the good life are three dirty little secrets that nobody likes to talk much about, me included. One, people feel exhausted. We're worn out. We say, I'm tired all the time. I can't keep up the pace. I'm overloaded. When I get home in the evening, I crash. I'm worn out. I'm out of energy. I'm exhausted. And exhaustion leads to a second thing, emptiness. We say, I don't think I've got another thing in me. I couldn't sign up for another thing. I couldn't take on another assignment or project or commitment. I'm stretched to the limit and I feel empty inside. In those quiet moments we get, we're thinking, if this is the good life, how come I'm still unsatisfied? Why don't I feel more meaning in my life? And by the way, what is the meaning of all of this? Getting more, having more, accomplishing more? What's the meaning behind it? If it's so good, why don't I feel more satisfied? And then emptiness leads to enslavement. We say, I feel trapped. I feel trapped by my debt. I don't know if I'm ever going to get out of it. I feel trapped. I feel trapped in a relationship, either with a girlfriend or a boyfriend or in a marriage. I can't get on with it and I can't get out of it. I feel trapped by the expectations of other people. I feel trapped by guilt. I feel trapped by fear. I feel trapped by my anger. I feel trapped by bitterness with somebody who's hurt me. I'm even a slave to my schedule. Friends, my guess is most of us here have felt emptiness and exhaustion and felt trapped. So I've got good news for us today. There's an antidote. It's called the better life. There's something more, and Jesus said we can come alive. So what is this better life that Jesus offers us? The Bible talks about three things. First, Scripture talks about a life with meaning. Folks, the greatest tragedy in life isn't death. It's to go through our entire life without knowing our purpose, without meaning, without knowing what on earth we are here for. The good life isn't good enough. Looking good, feeling good, having the good, that's not enough to make us happy. If that were true, Hollywood would be the most happy place on earth. Disneyland would be paradise. But it's not. In fact, the divorce rate in Hollywood is higher than just about anywhere else. It takes more than money and takes meaning to give our lives significance. A lot of people confuse a full life with a meaningful life. They're not the same. Having a full schedule isn't the same thing as having a fulfilled life. We need meaning. So we search for meaning in all kinds of different ways. We think if we just get more possessions, then that will add meaning to our lives. But there's always more to get. Or if we accomplish certain things, then our lives will have meaning. But there's always more to accomplish. So we search for meaning through all kinds of things, our hobbies, our sports, our travel, through relationships, through sex, through food. Of course, they're all good things. There's nothing wrong with any one of those things. It's just that they don't last. And when the experience is over, where do we get our meaning then? In those down times. We need something that gives us constant meaning, eternal meaning. Where do we get that? Well, there's only one place. From the God who created us. The Bible says, Christ gives meaning to your life. We were made by God. We didn't make ourselves. God made us. If God didn't want to make us, we wouldn't even be alive. And God made us for a purpose. And until we understand we were made by God and for God, life's not going to make much sense. And until we understand the purpose he put us on earth for, we can't step up from the good life to the better life. The Bible says, because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life and have everything to live for, including a future in heaven, and the future starts now. It's a very, very important verse in the Bible. I want you to notice a couple of things about it. First, notice that this better life, whatever it is somehow connected to what Jesus did at Easter. Somehow his coming back to life enables me to live a better life, better than just the good life. The second thing to notice is the better life isn't just an addition to our old life, something we just tack on. It's a whole new deal. It's brand new. God wants to give us a brand new life. Have you noticed how many packages say new and improved? What that means is same old junk with a new title. There's very little that's new in the world. It's all just repackaged, repositioned, relabeled, retitled. But God says, I want to give you a brand new life. I want to give you a chance to start over. I want to give you a chance to begin again. That's the starting point of a better life. We'll just give you a brand new life. It's incredible. I'm a kind of novice golfer. I've got to confess. I get to play about once a year. So I don't have much time for golf. Golf stick makes things look much more impressive than they really are. But I've learned a term in golf, and the term is mulligan. Anybody know the term mulligan? You see a few golfers here know a mulligan. It's a word. You can look it up in Wikipedia. I love this. If you don't know anything about golf, it means that when you take your first shot and the ball that you hit is a stinking shot, really. It hits a tree and then it comes back and it bounces off your partner's head. It's so bad, they give you a second shot. And this shot is free. And they don't count the first one on your scorecard. I love mulligans. I get one on every hole. It's great. It's great. Jesus wants to give us a mulligan for our life. He says, you know, all those stupid things you've done in the past and you regret, wish you'd done differently. Dumb decisions, bad mistakes, sins, faults, failures, whatever you want to call them. Let's just erase those. Don't count them. I'll just say, let's begin a brand new life. Step up from the good life to the better life. We'll wipe out all that other stuff and just begin again. What a great deal that is. No more guilt, no more guilty conscience, wiped out, begin over, start again. You say, that sounds pretty good, how do I get it? Well, we don't earn it. In fact, it says in that verse, we've been given a brand new life. It's a gift. Let me summarize what the Bible says for us. This is the quickest summary you'll ever hear. You were made by God to have a relationship with Him, a personal relationship. God knows you and loves you, and He wants you to know and love Him. I'm not talking about religion. Couldn't care less about that. God is more interested in a relationship with you. We were made to have a relationship with God. Three, there's only one problem. God is a perfect being and we're not. Not you, not me. So there's a big gap between me and God and between you and God, and we can't overcome that gap. God said, I'll figure it out. I'll come to earth. And He did that 2015 years ago, in the form and the person of Jesus. He said, I'll die for all the sins of the world, pay for everything that's been done so wrong, so we won't have to pay for it, so that we don't have to make up for it. I'll give you complete freedom. I'll give you a mulligan on your life, and I'll let you start over, brand new. And not only that, He says, we have so much, everything to live for. I'll give you meaning. Five things. Friends, what we live on is the good life. What we live for is the better life. The world won't tell you this because the world won't be honest with you, but I'm going to tell you the truth right now. We'll never be happy living for ourselves. We weren't made to live for ourselves. In fact, the more selfish we are, the more self-centered we are, the more miserable we are. We weren't made to live for us. We were made to live for God. When we start living for God, that's when we discover real happiness and meaning and significance and purpose and value to our lives, because we're not living for just us. We're living for God. The beginning of the better life begins when we stop living for ourselves and we start living for God. And then God says, let me tell you why I have a purpose for your life. And then you start to enjoy it. The Bible says this, He died so we would no longer live for ourselves, but for Him who died for us and was raised to life for our sake. God says, you weren't made to live for you. You were made to live for me. When we live for God, we're plugged into God. We get meaning and significance and purpose. That's priceless. Rick Warren tells the story of Ken and CJ. A Christian couple lived in a place called Bodega Bay, a little town somewhere north of San Francisco. They run a deli store up there. Bodega Bay had one homeless man, a town tramp named Garland. Garland dressed poorly, acted a little strange, slept in the city park. But Ken and CJ befriended Garland and offered him food and kind words. When their store was broken into, everyone in town accused Garland. But Ken and CJ were sure it couldn't have been their friend. In fact, they prepared a very expensive gift basket for Garland, gave it to him. The next morning, the police showed up with Garland, the expensive gift basket, and certain that they'd caught the burglar of the store. Ken and CJ, to protect Garland from embarrassment, said, "Oh, Garland, thank you for bringing your basket back. We forgot to put some stuff in it. We wanted to put in it. And by the way, here's the change I forgot to give you." And Ken made up a number of $38.67. In front of the police, he opened the cash register and gave $38.67 to this homeless guy. The police let Garland go without saying a word. Sounds like a musical, doesn't it? Les Mis? A few mornings later, Garland died in the park in his sleep. Ken and JC were called to the attorney's office. They were told that Garland had made them the sole heir in his will. He wrote, "The entire contents of my travel bag are entirely yours." Inside the bag was a bag of birdseed, a Bible, and a bank book. The names on the savings account were Garland and Ken and CJ. The last entry in the savings account was $38.67, bringing the balance to well over $3 million. The bank book had been used as a bookmarker in the Bible. Garland had put it in the Bible in a unique place, and the Bible lay open to Matthew 25:35, and the verse was underlined, "I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was alone and away from my home, and you invited me into your house." Jesus said, "When you did it for the least of these, my people, you did it for me." Garland had hidden wealth that nobody knew about. When Jesus hung on the cross with his arms outstretched, almost nobody standing there at the base of the cross knew how wealthy he was. He was God. He was the creator of the universe. He owned everything. He owned the universe. He owned the world. He owned the people standing around the cross who were crucifying him because he made them. He owned the hill he was on. He owned the wood and the nails they used to crucify him. Why did he do that? Jesus left heaven and gave up eternal wealth to come to earth so we could live a better life. We became rich by his death. That's what the Bible says. Jesus Christ was kind enough to give up all his riches and become poor so we could become rich. He's not talking here about money. He's talking about true wealth, meaning, not money. Jesus could have saved himself from the cross, but then he couldn't have saved you and me. He gave up everything so we could have everything. He died so we could live forever. He said, when you plug into me, I'll teach you your purpose and then your life will start to have meaning. This better life is not just a life. This better life is not just a life filled with meaning. It's a life freed by grace. What does that mean? The Bible says this, we're free to live a new life in the freedom of God. It all comes by grace. We're freed to live a new life, but it comes by grace. What's grace? Grace is when God gives us what we need, not what we deserve. That's grace. Everything we have in our lives is because of God's grace. The next breath we take is because of God's grace. Grace is God saying, I love you, I forgive you, even though you can't earn it. Grace is saying, I'm not mad at you. I'm not holding a grudge because Jesus has taken your sin on the cross. Grace is God saying, I'm going to give you a second chance and a third and a fifth and a 25th and a 125th. Grace is the road to freedom. We love our freedom. What has Jesus Christ set us free from? Lots of stuff. Sets us free from guilt, all the things we feel guilty about. He wipes them out. He gives us that mulligan. He sets us free from the fear of death. We don't need to be afraid to die. Why? Because we know God personally. We have a relationship with him. We know where we're going. He sets us free from the hurts other people cause us. That bitterness we can't let go of, we keep holding on to. That anger. He'll help us let it go. He sets us free from the expectations of other people. That's a good one. He sets us free to be ourselves. He sets us free to grow and develop and become all God meant us to be. He sets us free from worry, from anxiety. He sets us free from fear and boredom and meaningless, from no purpose. Jesus sets us free to stop trying to earn God's approval. There are two paths we can choose in life. One is to spend the rest of our life trying to get God's approval by our efforts, doing certain things. The other is to enjoy God's approval by accepting what Jesus has already done. We just accept the gift. The first way doesn't work, by the way. Never has worked, never will. The Bible says it doesn't work, that we can't earn God's approval by the things we do. It says the old system, that old system of trying to earn by works God's approval and love, was cancelled because it didn't work. It was weak and useless for saving people. It never made anyone feel right with God. But now we have a far better hope, for Christ makes us acceptable to God. He said, I just cancelled the old system. When a TV program doesn't work, what do? They cancel it. When a product doesn't work, they cancel it. They take it off the shelf. God cancelled the idea of trying to earn our way into heaven because it doesn't work. There's no way we're going to earn our way into heaven. We might as well forget that one. It doesn't work. God cancelled it a long time ago. He said there's only one way to get to heaven. There's only one way to the better life. That's to accept my grace, my gift, my love, what Jesus has done for you. The better life is a gift, and it's a free gift. It's not cheap. It's free, but it's not cheap. Somebody had to pay for it. It was a very expensive gift. You know who paid for it? Jesus. He paid for our salvation. He paid so we could live a better life. He paid for our freedom. The Bible says he gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. It's an amazing thing. Jesus on the cross to buy our freedom so we were no longer a slave to guilt or worry or fear or bitterness or the pressures of the past or the expectations of the future. He paid to set us free. There's another word for that. We don't hear about it much more. It's the word redemption. The word redeemed means to have our freedom paid for. The reason we don't use this word is because it came out of the slave trading years. Some of you know the story. In the slave trading years, people would intentionally buy slaves in order to set them free. These people were called redeemers. They would redeem a slave. Someone would say, slavery is wrong, it's evil, this person deserves to be set free. So they would buy that person's freedom and let them go. They were redeemed. Jesus came to redeem us, to set us free from all the things that keep us hung up, all the things that entrap us, habits and hurts and hang-ups, all the things that mess up our life. He says, I want to set you free from it. I want to give you a new life and real freedom. If I accept this better life, if I step up from the good life to the better life, what do I do with the old life? The exhausted, empty, enslaved life? Look at what the Bible says to do. The best thing to do with it is give it a decent burial and get on with your new life. Bury it. Dump it. Don't try to hold on to the old life that had all the worry in it and all the bitterness and all the guilt and the no purpose. Why would we want to hold on to that? Someone gives you a new coat and an expensive coat and you've got an old holy coat, moth-eaten, 20 years old. You don't put the expensive one over the old one. You just throw the old one away. Put on the new coat. Jesus says that old life, the one that had no meaning or purpose in it and you were frustrated all the time, just bury it. Let it go. Let it die. I'm giving you a brand new life. Jesus gave a symbol for it. It's called baptism. That's what we did at Bronte this morning. The way they used to do it in Bible times, you'd go down to a river, they'd dunk a person completely underwater and then bring them back up. Why would they do that? What's the meaning of that? It's a picture. It's saying I'm burying the old life, the life without meaning and purpose, the life that was stuck, the life that was guilty, the life that was worried, and now I'm living a brand new life. I've been redeemed. Jesus Christ has paid for my freedom and I'm living a brand new life that's free. This better life is filled with meaning. It's freed by grace. And quickly, the last one, it's full of energy. Do you ever get tired just thinking about all the stuff you have to do? Have you noticed that when you're low on energy, little problems become big problems? Have you noticed that when you don't have a whole lot of patience because your energy level is low, the littlest things, they just tick you off? Do you ever get the feeling that there's a beeper going off in your life and you know something's wrong, you just don't know what it is? I'll tell you what it is. We're running on our own energy and our battery's about to give out. We weren't meant to live on our own power. It's no wonder we're tired all the time. God meant for us to be plugged into His power, not go through life just living on our own energy. The Bible says those who feel tired and worn out will find new life, better life, and energy. Then in Zechariah 4:6 it says, "You will not succeed on your own strength or power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord." God wants us to plug into His power. Here's the good news. The same power that He demonstrated when He raised Jesus from the dead, when He came back to life to prove He was God, that same power is available to us on a day-by-day basis. Once the Spirit lives in you, it says, He will bring to your whole being new strength and vitality. God wants to give us a life full of energy. Friends, we got a choice. We can go through the rest of our lives living the good life, disconnected from God's power, or we can live the better life plugged into God's power. It's our choice. Whichever one we choose, we're still going to have problems because life is a series of problems. The difference is with God in our lives, with Christ in our lives, we have energy that we didn't have on our own power. He gives it to us, He says, on a daily basis. The Bible says this, even though on the outside it often looks like things are falling apart on us, on the inside where God is making new life, not a day goes by without His unfolding grace. You may have come to the Easter service today a little tired, a little worn out. You may be on the edge. You may feel like giving up. Maybe you're in a relationship and you feel like giving up on it. Maybe you're in a marriage and you've tried to make your marriage work, but it's just not getting any better. In fact, it may be getting worse. You feel like giving up on it. You may feel like giving up on your job. Maybe you feel like giving up on school. Maybe you feel like giving up on your health because you're just not getting any better. Or you feel like giving up on that kid who's headed in the wrong direction. Or maybe you feel like giving up on your goals and your dreams and your ambitions. Folks, don't do it. Don't give up. Look up. Look to God. Don't give up or give in. Give in to Christ and say, Jesus, I'm going to start living for you and not for me. He'll give you new power and new energy to do the things that He put you on this earth to do. He'll give it to you on a daily basis. Not a day goes by without His unfolding grace, it says. Has God been trying to get your attention? Maybe. Maybe that's why He brought you here on Easter Sunday 2015, so He could say to you, the good life isn't enough. I want you to step up to the better life, the life you were intended to live from the beginning. You say, sounds good. How do I get it? How do I get this life, meaning, energy, purpose, and freedom? Again, we can't earn it. We just accept it. It's a gift. We have faith. We believe and we receive. The Bible says everybody comes alive. It's in a relationship to Jesus that we get this better life. We don't get it through religion or going to church. We get it through a relationship with God. In fact, Jesus said in the book of John, I came so you can have real and eternal life, a better life than you ever dreamed of. That's why he came. So instead of feeling empty and enslaved and exhausted, he says, I want you to have meaning and freedom and energy. That's what Easter's about. It's not about the crowds. It's about personally getting to know God. I'm going to close today with a prayer, and you can pray with me to begin the better life. Let's pray. First, I'm going to pray for you, then you can kind of follow me in your heart and mind as we pray. Father, there are people today, here today, I know, who've never begun a relationship with you. They know about you. They believe in God. They just haven't ever really known you. I pray that you would give them the courage to open their hearts and their mind and life to you right now. And now as I pray, I want you to just pray along with me in your heart or in your mind. Dear God, I want to start living the better life. I realize that you made me for more than just the good life. So as much as I know how, I want to start living for you, not myself. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for sending Jesus Christ to die for my sins. I don't understand that, so you're going to have to help me out with it. But I want to open up my life to you, Jesus. As best as I know how, I want to get to know you. And I invite you to be the manager of my life, the CEO, the boss. You call the shots from this day forward. I want to learn to trust you. I want to exchange the good life for the better life. Thank you. Amen.